Some beautiful special music, good reminders for us. And we jumped in the car and headed down the road. This was Lena and I a few years ago. And we got to the end of a particular day on a particular trip. Now, this was a trip to visit the state of Utah. I was headed back to my place of birth. Not exactly. I don't exactly remember where I was born. I actually don't remember being born. But I don't remember the exact location either. But it was nearby. A place that was filled with a lot of family history, a lot of memories of my early childhood. It had changed a lot, as places do from time to time. It was in a desert. And there were a lot more trees at that point, and a lot more houses. I think once upon a time, that neighborhood maybe had 5 or 10 houses. Might have been up to 15 or 20 by this point, 20 years later. I'd been back a few times since to visit my family, but at that point, it had been about 20 years. And I was going back to visit my family, visit some of them. And some I hadn't seen for 20 years. Some I had off and on, but some I hadn't seen for 20 years. Now, have you ever wished that there was, you know, some famous person that you could sit down and have a conversation with? Or maybe a biblical person from biblical history who you could sit down with and ask them all kinds of questions. Maybe somebody that you look up to, that you hope to meet one day. Well, at this moment, on this particular trip, I kind of had the chance to do that. Obviously, it wasn't a biblical character. It wasn't anybody from history. But it was somebody who I considered someone to look up to, somebody that I had admired from the time I was young. It was one of my cousins. As I mentioned, I hadn't seen him for 20 years. The last time we saw each other, I don't know, I was definitely walking by then, but not for too much, not for long. And he was maybe, 10 years old, maybe a teenager. In my mind, I had built this man up as sort of a hero to myself. I grew up hearing stories of his adventures, some of his misadventures. In my mind, he seemed like a man who could go anywhere and do anything that he wanted to do. And he usually did. I used to imagine what his life would be like. In fact, in elementary school, I wrote a story about what I thought his life was like at that point. Alina and I headed off down this dusty road, and we parked in front of his sister's house, my other cousin. We said our hellos, and then standing on the porch was my cousin. There he was. He had a beard by that time, more of a beard than I'll ever be able to grow. Nice big beard, kind of looked like a mountain man. And the place matched his you know, the way that he looked. It's kind of a mountainous area out in the wilderness. We jumped out of the car. We said our greetings. It was really nice to see my cousins. I even got to see an uncle of mine I hadn't seen since, I don't know, almost 20 years, not quite. Now, the sun was setting, and we didn't have much time. We were going to stay the night there and take off early the next morning because we had to cover more ground, unfortunately. This was on a trip across the whole country, and you got to keep moving at a certain point, especially if you overstay your welcome before then, which we had several times in several places. And my cousin invited me to his house nearby for some coffee. Now, I rarely turn down coffee. Depends, you know, maybe if it's midnight, I won't have any. But this was more like 9 p.m., so it was okay. So we hopped in the car, he and I. We drove up this dusty path, very unpaved road. Road probably, at that little car, probably shouldn't have gone. But we made it up there, pulled off to the side in front of this little shack kind of a thing. More like a cabin that had been set up, and he was staying in the cabin watching a neighbor's house, and he had had it set up. He had all the things that he could possibly need. He had a bed in there. He had a place to store his things, his clothes. And, of course, he had the coffee-making instruments there on a shelf. So he made some coffee, And he actually made cowboy coffee. I don't know if you've ever had cowboy coffee before. You leave the grounds in there. His coffee maker was broken. So we left the grounds in there, and you just kind of drink around it. It's still enjoyable. It's still pretty tasty. We sat and we talked. We talked about the world's problems, and we drank another cup of coffee. And the deeper we got into it, the more obvious it was that we had very different conclusions as to the solution for the world's problems. This was based on what we had been taught and what we had seen in life. And my cousin and I found out we actually had quite a lot in common. Of course, we had a shared family history from a similar location, a similar upbringing in the church. We'd been on our own types of adventures in different places. He across the U.S. living in different places. Me a little bit here and there in the U.S. and also in a couple of different countries by that point. We'd seen some of the difficulties in the world. We'd seen people who had been harmed by other people, sometimes over religion. And we'd seen people harm each other for other reasons. We'd seen the sin that is around in the world. But we had very different viewpoints on the ultimate solution to solve the problems of this world. And my cousin, at that point, still believed in God. I assume that he still does. But no doubt, in his mind, God exists. But somewhere along the way, he stopped believing that the Bible was the Word of God and that we should live our lives according to that Word. He had forgotten that or purposefully forgotten it. I'm not sure. He'd reasoned it around in his mind that no longer did we have to heed those words of the laws of God. Even the Proverbs, maybe some of them might be good suggestions. At that point, I was thinking in my mind, I didn't express this, I thought it wasn't pertinent to the conversation, but I kept thinking, was this really that older cousin that I looked up to, this man that in my mind could do no wrong, even in the things that he did that were wrong? I figured once upon a time, I figured he probably had a reason for it, and he was a changed man. He wasn't hiding anything from anybody. But I kept thinking about that. And then I also thought, well, why was this so important for me to think about? Why did I feel like I was missing out on something? And I got to thinking, in our lives, we need role models. We need role models. It was a long time ago that I realized that I don't know everything. It was when I was about 5 years old. I know this because I used to tell my dad that I knew everything at that point. And then he'd ask me, well, do you know this? And I'd say, well, no, but I know everything else. So slowly I figured it out. I think I knew at that point that I didn't know everything, but I wanted to say it anyway. There are times in our lives where we need sound advice from other people, probably more often than we are willing to admit. We need people to look up to, not necessarily older than us, but a lot of times we need teachers in our lives, people who know more than we do about many things. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are a lot of people who know more than we do about quite a few things that we deal with in our lives. Now, the Bible agrees with this fact that we need those godly role models. We need people to look up to, people to give us sound advice. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There are several proverbs in this book that describe seeking wise counsel, seeking those godly role models. Proverbs 1 verse 5, verse 5 in Proverbs 1 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. There's a lot in the Proverbs about being good listeners, less about being good talkers. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. We could add truly wise, or more wise than he used to be. It goes on to describe fools. There's a difference between fools and the wise. The wise seek after what is true, and they attain learning. They seek after learning. They seek to improve themselves and listen to wise counsel. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Proverbs 19, verse 20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. As we grow in wisdom, hopefully we are able to give sound advice, wisdom, to others. Of course, we never stop learning, no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been at this. And we see a definite purpose in having role models. Role models in our lives are very important. Those are the people in our lives who we look up to, who we want to be like, kind of like it was for my cousin. And there were certain things, certain lessons that I learned from his life, whether he was there to teach me them or not. And I always appreciated that, maybe that adventurous attitude. Perhaps I looked up to that quite a bit. Now, if we want to learn how to do a certain skill or live a certain life, a lifestyle, we might look for a role model who knows that certain skill that we can learn from, to teach us how to do that. If we want to live godly lives, we have to find godly role models to look up to. Now, the Bible, thankfully, is filled with many good, godly role models. The Word of God has a lot of stories in it about the role models that God has given us. Now, there's one in particular that we're going to look at today. Just one. If we had time, we'd go through the whole Bible and look at all of them. But we can do a piece at a time starting today. We're going to look at the story of Joshua, or at least part of the story of Joshua, some details about Joshua that show us that he is a good role model, a godly role model for us to look up to in our lives, someone whose life we can admire. Now, Joshua was a young man who trusted in the promises of God. Eventually, he became old and more wise in his years, but he never stopped learning, it seems. He was one of the spies that was first sent into the land of Canaan, and he was one of only two that came back who had enough faith to give a good report, to not be afraid of the blessings that God was going to give them, he and Caleb. And they were the only two of those spies allowed into the promised land 40 years later because of that faith. Now, I have three reasons why Joshua is a godly role model, a good godly role model for us to look to, for us to receive wise counsel. Now, the first reason is that Joshua read the Bible. Joshua read the Bible. This is important. This is where he received that knowledge, and also from mentors that he had. After the death of Moses, who we could probably say Moses was Joshua's greatest mentor, his godly role model that he had to look up to. Now, Joshua had to prepare the people to cross over the Jordan River. This was his task now. This was the land that God had promised them, and it was time. 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness, and it was finally time for them to enter into the promised land. And Joshua spoke to the people, and he pointed them to the word of God, which God had given to Moses. Let's turn to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua had received the written word of God as it was inspired by God to Moses, written down, the laws of God. The first five books of this Bible that we have right now, that's all that they had at that point. It's a little bit, well, I was going to say it's a little bit lighter to carry around, but actually it was written on stone, so it was a little bit heavier. Well, there are portions of it written on stone and everything recorded so that it could be transported. I got to find Joshua. It's here. There it is. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "This book of the law," these are the words of Joshua here, "this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." We heard some about this in the sermonette about reading God's word. This is God's love letter to us. This shows us how to live, how our God wants us to live, to be successful. So it shall be in your mouth, you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So it's important to read the Bible so we know what to do and to apply it. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You'll have good success in the things that God has called you to do. These are the instructions that Joshua was giving. Now, at a certain point, there would be certain tribes who would remain on the eastern side of the Jordan River. This chapter further on describes the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh. They would stay on the eastern side at a certain point after they came in and helped their brethren come into the land. They had unique challenges to face. They would kind of be on their own, separated physically from the other people of God. And they would have to remember God's word, God's instructions. Verse 13, here Joshua has a special reminder for this group of people about looking to God's word. Remember, verse 13 of Joshua 1, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Remember those promises that God has given you, and look to him for those promises. Now, over in Joshua chapter 8, over a few pages, Joshua chapter 8, we see here a great story of some success that God had already given his people as they went in to receive this land. They had to fight. They had to run people out. And God had given them great victory against various peoples at this time. Now, they were gathered together after a victory against the people of Ai. And they were in front of an altar that was built to worship God according to God's instructions that they were supposed to build. And the nation was given a special blessing from God. And then after that blessing, they heard the word of God read aloud. Joshua read the word of God to the nation. And everyone was supposed to sit and listen, or stand and listen, remain there and listen. Joshua 8 verse 34. Afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. He read the whole Bible, all five chapters, but he read the whole thing. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. The entire nation was meant to hear the word of God read aloud. They didn't have multiple copies to pass around. They had to share it verbally. They had to hear it from somebody who was faithful in keeping that word, like Joshua. Now today we have the entire Bible, the entire inspired word of God, as God has intended us to have. We've been blessed with that. We have a lot more stories to read, more instructions, more guidance, more wise counsel, more stories of more godly role models. And just like Joshua read the entire book of the law, we need to read the entire Bible. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a good reminder here. Some wise counsel about the word of God and not leaving any part out. Sometimes there might be sections that we don't quite understand. We're not sure exactly how we should apply them, but we still read them. And then we ask questions to others who might have a better understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible gives us instructions in how to live, how to do, how to serve. And the entire Bible does that. Hebrews chapter 4. So that was 2 Timothy 3, 16. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12. Another great reminder about the word of God and the power that's contained in these scriptures, because they come from God, and God has power. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we read it intently and we seek that guidance from God and that understanding from God, then it will pierce our hearts Through it, God helps us to search our hearts, to see what's in them. Verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We must give account based on what we know, based on what we do with what we know from the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 105, you can put that one in your notes. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word should help us and guide us in our lives. But it's only good if we read it and follow it. We have to do both. Now, Joshua did that. We have that powerful example of Joshua, not only reading it, but also sharing it with everybody in his nation, as God instructed him, and following after it and encouraging others. He didn't force anybody, but he encouraged others to follow it as well. He knew that he couldn't force anybody to follow God. He couldn't force anybody to love God like he did, but he could inspire people through his example and his words. So Joshua read the Bible. Now, secondly, Joshua is a good, godly role model for us because he kept his promises. He kept his promises. There's a powerful example in this. It's actually an example that comes from a mistake that Joshua made. In Joshua chapter 9, we'll turn back to the book of Joshua here, this record of Joshua judging and ruling the nation of Israel as they came into the promised land. Joshua chapter 9 here, we read a story, a particular story, when the leaders of Israel, including Joshua, were deceived by a group of people, the Gibeonites or the Hivites. Now, instead of destroying these people, they were fooled into making peace with them. And then they made promises, they made a covenant with them. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. Verse 3 here, it says, but when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, so they heard these stories of the amazing things that God had done, the victories, they worked craftily, it says in verse 4, and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended. Verse 5, old and patched sandals on their feet and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. It's a good plan. They were in disguise. Now they figured, you know, God had told them to go and kill the nations that are part of this land that God had given them. But what about foreigners coming in? He didn't say anything about the foreigners. And they figured this out. And that's probably some of the reasoning that Joshua and the other leaders of Israel had. They figured, well, these guys aren't going to bother us like God had said that they might. They're from a different place. They'll go home and everything will be fine. Verse 6, and they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. Sounded great on paper. Sounded fantastic. And so they did make a covenant with them. They agreed with them that they would not kill them. Verse 14 tells us that they didn't even ask for God's advice in this. They did it without asking for God's wise counsel. They were trying to make decisions on their own. And we have to be very careful with that. They didn't seek wise counsel. But still, even though they made this mistake, they kept their promises. They kept this promise. And it turned out to work out well. The other people were serious about that covenant, thankfully. And perhaps God influenced them because they were so afraid. Joshua 9, verse 26 describes some of this situation. And so the end result, where we see Joshua especially and all the leaders keeping their promise. Verse 26, so he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel so that they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose even to this day. So for years to come, they became the servants of the Israelites, serving in the temple, or serving not in the temple or the tabernacle, but serving those who served in the tabernacle and serving the people. Joshua had to keep his promise, even though it was wrong for making peace with these men. Thankfully, God was merciful in that moment. He could have punished Joshua and said, because you've done this, I'm going to remove you and bring somebody else in. Now, God could have done that, but he knew that Joshua was faithful and also a man of his word, and it ultimately reflected good on even God. Not that we can count on our mistakes reflecting good on God, but God can turn any situation around. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5, we have some wise counsel here about keeping our word. Also good reminders for how we use our words. We are also supposed to keep our promises, just like Joshua kept his promise. We also have to be cautious about what promises we make. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1, it says in verse 1, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. In other words, to try to teach God something. For they do not know that they do evil. Verse 2, do not be rash with your mouth and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. You know, God hears the promises that we make, and he will hold us accountable for even those promises. Now, there are times where we have to back out and, you know, repent of our sins of promising too quickly. But there are also times where we have to keep those promises, even to our own hurt. Let's continue reading here. It says, therefore, let your words be few. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Verse 5, better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So we're careful about the promises that we make, the covenants that we enter into. Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15 has more to say about this. This chapter describes those who will be part of God's kingdom, those who will be his servants, his children, serving along with Jesus Christ, dwelling in his tabernacle, it talks about here. Psalm 15, verse 1, it says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be your people, in other words? Verse 2, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In other words, he who keeps his promises. Sometimes, even if it doesn't benefit him to do so, if we agree to something and it turns out not to be the way that we thought it was going to turn out, it actually might do us harm, that doesn't give us the right somehow to back out of a promise that we've made. So we have to be very careful with that. Verse 5, let's finish out this psalm. It says, He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. So part of keeping our word is part of not being moved. God will take care of the situation. He'll take care of us, even if the situation has harmed us unexpectedly. So we should, like Joshua, keep our promises. And we can learn from his mistake and be careful about what promises we make, not to enter into anything hastily without thinking it through. Sometimes it's hard to do if we're forced to make a decision in a moment. And we can still pray in a moment, seek that counsel from God, of course. So Joshua kept his promises. Thirdly, Joshua was devoted to following God. Joshua was absolutely devoted to following God until the day that he died. In that way, he was a type of Jesus Christ, devoted up to the day he died. And before his death, Joshua addressed the nation of Israel. He knew it was about that time. I guess sometimes you just know. Maybe God had revealed it to him. Now, he didn't use this moment to reminisce about his own life and think about his mistakes, his regrets. He could have done that. Or he could have bragged about his relationship with God. the fact that he had been chosen to take over after Moses. Instead, he used this opportunity to inspire the nation to love God as much as he loved God, to be devoted to him, to their creator, as much as he was devoted to his creator. Joshua chapter 23. Toward the end of his life, toward the end of the book of Joshua here. Joshua 23, we'll read some verses here in this chapter. Verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel, from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age." It was probably obvious. That was the obvious part. But he's trying to express that he has some wisdom here that he's going to pass along to those who he was responsible to lead. Verse 3, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you." A reminder of God's powerful blessings that had brought them to that point. A time of rest, a time of peace for the nation. And it was time for Joshua to die. And he wanted to pass this remembrance on to the people so that even in his absence, they would remember. Verse 6, let's drop down to verse 6. "Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." Remember God. Remember his word that he had given to Moses, that it was written down. "Lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left." And he always pointed everybody to God in everything, except for his mistakes. But even then, he repented and pointed people to God. Verse 11, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." Take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. And that wasn't the last word that he had said, but it would have been a good one if that was the last word that he said. And he knew in his life, let's turn to chapter 24 here, he knew that it would be up to each individual as part of a nation to seek God, to choose to follow God. In their lives, each individual would be responsible for themselves, but together as a nation to follow God. And it would take each individual to make the nation a true success. Joshua 24 and verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." And verse 15, a verse that sticks in our minds often. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua had taught his family, his children, his grandchildren, however many generations this was, to serve God. But he knew it would be up to the individuals in this nation to continue forward. But he's showing, in my life, this is what I've striven to do. And I want you to do the same. No matter what anybody else is doing around us, we should strive to be devoted to God's word as much as Joshua. And to following God. We should also do our best to inspire those around us to follow after God in their lives. We can't force anybody, but we can hopefully inspire them. Now, through his servant Joshua, God had provided a very good godly role model for us. If we want to live a godly life, we should look for these godly role models. We can find them in Scripture. We can find other ones. We won't go through Hebrews 11 today, but if we did, we'd see a list of people who God wanted us to be pointed to specifically. It's not a complete list of every faithful person, but it's the faith chapter. It shows us stories of people who have been given promises by God and haven't yet received those promises, but they were faithful because they knew those promises were real. Let's turn to Hebrews. Well, let's turn there. Hebrews 11. We won't read the whole thing, but towards the end of the chapter. Hebrews 11 talks about Cain and Abel and the difference. Talks about Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, many others. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 32. And the writer of Hebrews, most likely the Apostle Paul, he's writing here and he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens," those who had come against their nation. Verse 35, "Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection," striving for that first resurrection as we do. "Still others," verse 32 or 36, "still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth." These were God's people, and they should have been role models for the nations. And for those who read the scriptures, they are. Verse 39, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." If they have received those, or they have been given those promises from God and will receive them at the first resurrection, we can as well, if we follow in their footsteps of being also godly role models. None of them were perfect, but they acted in faith, as much faith as God had granted them. And they are wonderful godly role models for us. It's a good idea for us to periodically read their stories. The purpose of Hebrews 11 is just to remind us of those stories so that we can look back at them and be inspired by them. And we can find godly role models outside of Scripture as well. We can find them in our congregations. Now, this doesn't mean that we put anybody up on a pedestal or anything, treat them like somebody extra special. Now, we don't treat them badly either. But a godly person is somebody who tries to always point to God and is faithful, like Joshua. And we have people among us in this congregation. We have people in the other congregations. We meet people who are part of the body of Christ in different places when we travel for the feast, maybe if we're at youth camps or activities. We meet people. We find people who are good, godly role models for us. And that's a great thing. God has given us many people to help serve, and that's wonderful. That doesn't mean it's enough, though, of course. There's always more to do. And many times we find people, they might not be the person who's up front giving the messages or that's seen, but people who are working behind the scenes, who only want to serve quietly and diligently. Oftentimes, these are good role models for us. Of course, it depends on if they are following Scripture and being those good role models. Now, the Apostle Paul sometimes pointed out individuals in other places besides in Hebrews. He pointed out individuals who were doing good, who were good role models for the rest of the congregation. In Romans 16, let's turn to Romans chapter 16. In some cases, he was letting people know that he had given these individuals, these faithful servants, his stamp of approval if they were being sent from one place to another, reminding the people that they were there to serve and that they should be supported and also serve along with the rest of the congregation. Romans 16, verse 1 says, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister," this is possibly one of the early deaconesses, "who is a servant," that word servant is the same as the word translated as deacon in the Bible, "of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also." He's saying this woman is a godly role model for you. You should take her example, help her to serve, and be servants yourself along with her. Paul urged people to look around to see who was a good servant, to see who these godly role models were, and to serve along with them. At times, give them credit where credit is due. That doesn't mean we throw a party every time somebody does something. But sometimes we can tell somebody that they're doing a good job, that we appreciate hearing their story or seeing their example. And one of the best ways to give that praise is to imitate a godly role model. To follow their good example, that's some of the greatest praise that you can possibly give somebody. See, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here Paul is giving more praise to people, urging us to look around at who's serving, to be supportive, and to serve ourselves in that support. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." There's sometimes those who are placed over us in the church, and they admonish us. Hopefully they do it in a loving manner. Verse 13, "And to esteem them very highly," it says, "in love, for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves." In other words, be supportive of the work that's going on, even if it might not be done the way that you think it should be done. Sometimes that happens. But be supportive of the work in love, for their work's sake, for the sake of the work that needs to be accomplished, striving for peace among yourselves. And we can become godly role models ourselves, and we should. Actually, I might say that we must. We must become godly role models, all of us. It doesn't have to be just a few individuals here and there. It's supposed to be all of us. We are supposed to be like a light set on a hill. Hebrews 12, let's turn to Hebrews 12. We had that list in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 12 goes into some urging us to take on those examples, to be servants ourselves, and to be reminded of those promises that God has given to those who serve, to those who also become godly role models. Verse 1 in Hebrews 12, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." In other words, continue forward, serving. It's a race. We're joining a race along with our brethren. Verse 2 points us to the greatest role model of all. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Ultimately, Jesus is our greatest role model, who is completely committed to his Father and everything. We are to change our lives to imitate him, to take on the example that we see in him and those who follow him. We begin to imitate Christ, of course, by reading the instructions in the Bible, reading these stories. And then, of course, we must begin to apply them in our lives. Otherwise, it's useless. Not just for a while, but for the rest of our lives. Like we saw with Joshua, until the day that he died, he was following God and encouraging others to do the same. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments," talking about God the Father and also Jesus Christ. We know him if we keep his commandments, if we follow his example, we can become like him. Verse 4, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked," following that godly example of a godly role model in our lives. If we want to be godly role models for others, we can't pick and choose when to be like Jesus Christ. We must follow his example always, to walk as he walked always. His character is perfect. It never changes. We, unfortunately, still need a lot of change in our lives. We should strive to be just like him in every way all the time. To be that light set on a hill. That's in Matthew 5. Jesus Christ describes that. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 talks about that. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God. To glorify our Father in heaven. So where did all this leave my relationship with my cousin? Sometimes I think about that. As we finished up that evening, we had a third cup of coffee or so, I don't remember. We said our goodbyes, and we had a great conversation. We didn't agree on everything, and I think both of us came away understanding a little bit about one another, to understand who we actually were. Now, I hope that one day my cousin will be inspired by God to again seek his word. I hope that one day he will be inspired by the story of Joshua to be faithful to God, to point others that way as well. Now, Joshua was a man of God who faithfully read his word. He kept his promises to people and to God. And he was completely devoted to his heavenly Father his entire life. Joshua is a great godly role model for us. We can find more role models in the Bible. We can find them in our congregations among each other. And we can be those godly role models. In fact, we must be those godly role models for others as we strive to imitate Jesus Christ.